You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast. We're giving you the best content from each episode of MLB At The Plate. MLB At The Plate airs weekdays from 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern time on TuneIn.
Welcome into the MLB At The Plate podcast. I'm Holden Kushner, and today I'm joined by JP Arencibia. We're going to start the podcast out with the MLB At The Plate triple play, which is where JP and I discuss three topics that interest us. Tonight, our triple play includes discussions about the reported use of cocaine in baseball, trade rumors and analysis, and David Price heading to the DL.
The MLB At The Plate triple play.
Let's get to a story I want to get out ahead of before it gets really big. And I think it's a story that has, it's something that happened in Major League Baseball about 35 years ago. And according to this article by Andy Martino, who's a freelance reporter, used to cover the Mets. Andy Martino, the headline says, Major League Baseball has a cocaine problem. Now, before I even get into this story, if you didn't know, back in the early 80s, Major League Baseball was really heavily scrutinized because of the rampant use of cocaine. I mean, there were hearings. Tim Raines even admitted that he used to go out with a vial in his back pocket when he was playing. Cocaine was a massive, massive issue before, you know, the steroid boom. As controversial as steroids is today, that was cocaine for about a 5 to 7 year period in the late 70s and the early 80s. Well, now Martino says he's talking with infielders and former players and current players. And one guy that he had talked to said during his career, he used cocaine a handful of times, marijuana frequently. He says a lot of guys would wake up at 9 a.m., smoke, and then, you know, they would wait until after the game the following night. And again, according to Martino, current and former players tell me as many as 25% of Major League Baseball players are cocaine users. All right, I'm just going to hand it over to you now. Your thoughts on some of these numbers being thrown out there. This, of course, in the wake of Jose Fernandez's death last year, and Tommy Hansen as well, a pitcher, 29 years old, also passed because of the cocaine use. But your thoughts on this, JP?
First off, he says 5 to 25%. So that just tells you right there that that's a – he's just flipping a coin. I think this is a story to try to get some kind of notoriety or just to get a little bit of buzz, and he's the person that wrote the article. I was never an all-star on the field, but I was an all-star off the field. I – went out 95% of the nights in my career for the most part. I very much enjoyed myself off the field, but I partied hard and I partied with a lot of guys, and I not once in my career, not once ever heard of a guy doing cocaine. Not once. So this to me is somebody trying to stir up some things. Also, for the record, it's a drug that you get tested for. It's a banned substance. So if you do test positive for it, you get in trouble for it. So that's one thing. That's one reason that I think this article is full of you know what. Okay, and again, you hear these guys in the off season. Jose Fernandez, I when he passed away, they said there was something in his system. Tommy Hansen was out of baseball already, and he had stuff in his system. Okay, so. You know, that really doesn't count to me in the sense of talking about in the game right now. 5% to me would feel like a lot if you're talking about the old the cocoa, but
yayo.
Yeah, but for now, if we're talking marijuana, different story. That's something that is allowed in the game, and it's not frowned upon, and guys can smoke and take whatever they want with THC, and they are completely fine. It does not, and so now if you're
they don't test for it.
No, it's not. They don't have any. What do you call this? Reprimands. You don't get reprimanded at all for that. You get reprimanded for narcotics and things like that. So marijuana is something that's very prevalent in the game of Major League Baseball. Now that. Very much so, 100%. I would say there's a high percentage of guys. Now, when you're talking about cocaine, listen, again, I've partied with about as many guys as you can party with in about as many cities that you can party at, and I have not ever once, ever heard of a player talking, even talking about it.
All right, so I'm going to go back to the Martino interview here real quick, the piece. He goes, three of the players that he talked to offered educated guesses that range from 5 to 25% for cocaine use and 25 to 75% for marijuana. And a fourth player, who's a star on a contending team, said that one or two guys in his ball club used either cocaine or marijuana. So I'm looking at the cocaine thing, and I have a hard time believing. I don't know what player said 25%, but that is an awfully high. We're talking about 5 out of 25 players
no chance.
On a team.
No chance.
That is remarkably high. And then 25 to 75% for marijuana. I do know that a lot of the younger guys, a lot of the older guys, it's not as big with. Some of the younger players now that are in the game, though, it seems like it's prevalent. Would you go 25%? You wouldn't go 50%,
yeah,
would you?
Yeah, I would go close to 50.
50% of baseball players are getting high.
Yeah, I would go really? Close. I would go closer to 50.
40. Let's go 40.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's an accurate assessment.
Wow.
Just on teams that I played on, there's quite a few guys, and some teams more than others. But again, cocaine. Listen, I've been around people that have smoked pot, they drink, all that stuff. Not once ever have I heard of somebody taking cocaine that I've ever. And again, I went out very often, and I never ever heard of a baseball player even discussing it.
Let me say this: is it possible that the guy that said, "Hey, you know, 25% of the team," it's possible that there is a team where 25% of the guys could be using, right?
No, I possible just did you not listen to me telling
no, no, no,
you earlier.
One team, one
no,
single
okay,
team.
Did you not listen?
Not
a, no, listen.
I listened to
me.
Your whole thing. It's
no,
not
no,
possible
no.
that one team would have five guys.
No,
on
you
it?
Didn't
just
listen to me. You did not listen to me because what I told you was it's an illegal drug. It's an illegal substance, narcotics.
Right.
If you get tested with narcotics, it is suspension worthy. So now again, that's why that question doesn't really pertain to this conversation, because you get tested for narcotics, those
not
kind
in the
of
off
drugs.
Season,
in the
right?
off season, it's a random test. Okay, so you may guys may be doing it in the off season, and if you get caught, you get caught, but. I you get tested a lot in the off season, so again, it doesn't make sense. I don't know. Listen, I've never done cocaine in my life. I don't know how long it stays in your system. All these different things, but in the off season, I have no idea. But again, never have I ever heard of somebody talking about cocaine. Not once. I'm talking. I've heard of people even taking pills, and I'm not saying. In during the season, I'm talking about like ecstasy and what was the other one that came out that was the lower version of ecstasy, or like the more pure Molly, like Molly's, all these different things. People, you know, I've heard of that stuff. Never in my life have I heard of cocaine. Not once.
So cocaine, this is the first thing I thought of. And let me just tell you how my mind worked on this. I remember driving around like. What was it? It had to be more than 15 years ago when Ken Caminiti did an interview with Jim Rome. And Ken Caminiti was in major depression. His body was breaking down. He admitted that he was using steroids. And he said like some outlandish number, like way more than half of Major League Baseball players, maybe 60% of baseball players using steroids, may have even been higher than that. And everybody was driving around going, what? You talk about it. That's crazy. That's out there. And then you go back in time. I mean, it's probably 40 to 50% of guys were using that stuff at least. Now, there are and there was no testing for that back then. So again, if now that you listen to what JP had said about testing, it just seems like it would be a lot more difficult to be an avid cocaine user, or even take a bump here and there, given the risk that you're at. We haven't had many busts for it. And then the fact that they don't, that you know, marijuana, they just kind of look the other way with marijuana, then of course guys are going to use that a lot. They're going to use it in a lot of different ways too. Pain relief, relaxation, or, you know, maybe somebody's addicted to it. Some guys are just addicted to it. They got to have it all the time. But yeah, that's fascinating. So the article, you would say, you know, even 5% of Major League Baseball would be high.
Would be very, very high. Again, for you said that no one has been. Name me one player that has been caught in the.
For Fernandez, and unfortunately, it's because, you know, it was in an autopsy.
Okay, and again, so he wasn't caught. Like, talk to me about somebody during a season that has been caught with cocaine.
I don't know who it is. Not one.
So there's not been a suspension with that. So, I mean, other than Ron Washington that had issues and stuff like that, that's one thing. Now, again, baseball, not one person has been caught. Now, in the offseason, you're talking about Jose Fernandez, and they found it in a system. I get that. In the offseason, I don't know what people do in the offseason. They still get drug tested. We all still get drug tested in the offseason. But I'm telling you, being in the clubhouse, I've heard about pills. I've heard about weed because, you know, weed is something that guys can do and it's not an issue. So a lot of guys partake in that. But I have not once ever heard of cocaine. Not once.
This is the first time hearing of it.
Literally, this is the first time that I've heard that anybody would think that it was a problem in baseball. Not once. And so, again, I think this is just somebody trying to – what this shows me is that this guy is throwing crap against the wall and sees what and see what sticks. Because when you give me a number like 5 to 25 – or 25 or whatever percentage of marijuana that you're giving me these huge ranges, that means that you're full of you know what.
But just from your standpoint, if you're talking about, we're even using the arbitrary number 40%. If 40% of baseball players are smoking or eating edibles, and marijuana is what I'm talking about here, that's a huge number. Well, that's a huge number, man. That's a lot of people, because you break that down in the clubhouse. You're saying maybe 10 out of every 25 players would be doing that stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not disagreeing with. But again, that's a drug, one, that's not, it's not, you know, penalized for, and two, it's legal in some states.
I mean, some states, right.
Yeah, it's legal in some states. So it's not like this, you know, they're going off the deep end. And when you refer to like Caminiti and the steroids, yeah, I get that. But there wasn't the testing. We get tested and we get tested a lot now, especially with the Players Association. We all wanted more testing. All the players wanted more testing because we want the even playing field. That's why we allowed them to start doing blood tests to us. And doing more of it because we want everything to be on the same playing field. But again, that's a joke. This article was a joke to me for the numbers that were thrown out there. I think it's just to get a little attention was more what this article was meant for.
Did we have another trade today? What happened? We got the Rays are trading again. What is going on here with the Rays?
Hey, I love it. I mean, we've talked about it, how bad their bullpen has been, and they have gone out there and continued to make moves for that bullpen. I think that the Mariners got a little bit of a shorter end of the stick there, and the only reason why I say that is because Erasmo, they absolutely wore him out last year. I mean, remember, his nickname was Everyday Erasmo last year.
By the way, real quick, let me just say who it is. It's the Rays getting reliever Steve Cishek from the Mariners for Erasmo Ramirez. So please continue.
Okay, and that's for me is a tough thing because he's up to close to a 5 this year. He's like a 4.8, and I think he just got absolutely crushed so badly last year that he may be. It might be – maybe next year he'll pay some dividends, but this year I think he's going to have a tough year because he's – I mean, he got absolutely abused last year by the Rays. So the Rays kind of abused him and said, thanks for your work. We'll trade you and get Cishek, who's been good. He hasn't been as dominant as he was with the Marlins, but I do like the acquisition.
Yep, I'm right there with you on that. So you got C-Shit going one way. And let's talk about the Rays' new bullpen, because they've got the Yankees added a couple of pieces, and the Rays are doing the same thing. They had the lefty Jennings yesterday. And who knows what the next move is for this team, but at least they put themselves in a position where as much as their resources can give them a chance to beef up at the deadline, that's what they've been doing.
Yeah, I mean, they've done a great, great job of being able to put together a bullpen. I mean, you have Holder coming in and Chad Green coming in like in the fifth inning, and these guys are sitting on one ERAs. You have Adam Warren, who came in the other day late in the game in a huge situation when they took out Betances. And obviously the three horses, Robertson, Betances, and Chapman. And then they also have their lefty out there. So it's I think that they've done a really, really good job of putting together a great bullpen that they will be able to shorten games. And like you're going to see a lot more like yesterday, where if CC Sabathia or any of those guys come up in the third or fourth inning and it's getting hairy, they're going straight to that bullpen because they definitely believe in that bullpen.
Well, how about the Rays now? You throw C-Shick in there. You've been raving about Tommy Hunter, and deservedly so. They picked up Jennings yesterday. They threw Sergio Romo in there. I don't know how that's going to work, but Alex Colomé makes me a little bit worried. And I wonder if they need to go out and make another move for the bullpen, or is this team just going to sit where they are? Because so far, their rotation has been better than advertised. Cobb has gotten back to being where he is. Archer's been great. Faria has been a godsend. We'll see Pruitt tonight going up against the Yankees. Blake Snell is back. For me, it's that back end of the bullpen. They're just throwing as many arms in there as possible to make sure that they can get through those late innings.
Yep, and in Ray's way, they don't go and get maybe the biggest name, but they get guys that they can control. They have guys that are good, but not going to cost you a ton of money. So again, I think that's the Rays' way. They'll find somebody that's kind of mid-tier somewhere else, or you know, a little bit above average, and they'll come. They'll teach them their philosophy and hope that they can change them for the better.
Howie Kendrick's been traded to the Nationals for a low-level minor leaguer. So the Phillies dealing Howie Kendrick to the Nats. Kendrick, of course, spending just about all of his career out in Southern California with the Angels and then the Dodgers. So what does this do for the Nationals, JP?
I think it gives them a very, very, one, great player off the bench, right-handed hitter in the National League. You always have to have guys that you can bring in off the bench. They have Adam Lind on the bench, you know, who's been playing more, but they have him on the bench for lefties, and that's what they had signed him for. As a lefty to face righties, and now they have their other opportunity on the bench. But don't sleep on this guy not playing, you know, playing some left field. We saw Adam Lind out there playing left field, and Howie is a definite upgrade defensively. And I imagine what they might be doing is a platoon system out there with, you know, righty on the mound, Adam Lind in left, lefty on the mound, Howie Kendrick in left.
Yeah, this year, Howie's played 24 games out in left and 10 more at second and one at third. So he's DH'd. He has pinch hit for the most part. He's having a really good season, too, statistically. I mean, it's just 156 plate appearances. He's hitting .340 with an .851 OPS. I mean, he's got a couple home runs. He's got 16 RBIs, 8 doubles. But yeah, if you're looking for a right-handed pinch hitter, I think that would be – I mean, there you go, professional hitter, a guy that can do it, Howie Kendrick. I like it.
Perfect, the perfect summation of Howie Kendrick is the epitome of a professional hitter.
Yeah, that's what he is, and he's gonna be a nice pinch hitter too, I think, for them. So there you go. That's the little deal that went down between the Nationals and the Phillies. Here you go. Ken Rosenthal, who broke the news with Howie Kendrick going to the Nationals, and now he's reporting that A.J. Ramos is going to the New York Mets. The Mets getting A.J. Ramos from the Marlins, according to real Ken Rosenthal, the actual one. So this is no joke, and you think about it. He's making $6.5 million this year, and he'll be back next year. So kind of tells me that the Mets are looking at this, that they can retool really quickly, or they just got him, and now they're going to go make another deal and wheel a deal again.
That's what I think that move tells me, but I guess we'll see. I think that move tells me that they're going to flip him right around.
Or, yeah, I mean, maybe you pair him with Reed.
Hmm? Yeah, I mean, pair him with Reed, you're saying, for the following season?
No, pair him with Reed on a trade.
Oh, on a trade. Yeah, I don't know who they may pair him with. They may even not pair him with anybody, but they may be able to pick him up and then trade him to another team. And by the way,
yeah,
Mr. McCutchen just keeps it going.
And he just hit another home run. But let me get back to the Mets here for a second, because you know, maybe this actually allows them to deal Addison Reed and think that they can come back next year and make a run at it. You know, I have a hard time believing that the Mets think that they're in for another long rebuild, because they really haven't been that good for long enough. They had 15 and 16, so this year they took a step back. So you think about it, Rosario's coming up, Conforto, then you'll have first base, you'll have some more power. What they're probably planning on is Syndergaard coming back with DeGrom. I don't know if they would go out and be active in signing a free agent pitcher in the offseason, and maybe you'd still have a closer because you'd have it Ramos there. There's a lot of different opportunities or different ways that the Mets could go. On the surface, it's like, what? To the Mets? But yeah. I mean,
It's not the end of this story.
It's not
this
the end.
This is chapter. This is chapter one of the story right here. Because something's going to happen with either them flipping him to another team or them getting rid of somebody because of the acquisition of him. Again, this is chapter one.
All right, really interesting. So again, we'll try and find out what is going back to Miami here for Ramos, but there you go, AJ Ramos to the Mets. And it can't be for nothing, because there had to have been multiple teams interested in AJ Ramos. This guy with good arm, at least being a seventh or an eighth inning guy on a playoff team, right? There's no way the Mets think they're still in the race.
No, I don't think
Duda trade ended that.
Yeah, they're not still in the race. I think this is. There's no rhyme or reason for this, so I think that time will tell why this happened.
Yeah, and the time might be today or tonight or tomorrow or the night after that, with the deadline coming up on Monday and 4 o'clock Eastern time. So that is the latest news. All right, what do you think about this one? John Heyman reporting that the Orioles are going to be acquiring Jeremy Hellickson from the Phillies. So they deal Kendrick to the Nats, and then they deal Hellickson to the Orioles, according to John Heyman from FanRag Sports. This is interesting, too. Because
don't get it.
I don't understand this whatsoever, unless the Orioles somebody in that organization legitimately believes that they're going to make a run at this thing. They're seven out in the division. They're six back in the wild card race. Not sure what they're giving to Philadelphia, but Baltimore five games under 500 after losing to Texas tonight, where they are. Are you kidding me? It doesn't make sense. This makes no sense unless they're going to wheel them and deal them and package them somewhere else.
Yeah, I think we may be seeing that. I think we may be seeing that right there, that somebody picks up a player and then wheels them away right away. Because that trade makes no sense to me, why the Orioles would pick up a pitcher who's on one-year deal. He accepted the qualifying offer, and he is not going to help them. I mean, he'd help them, but they're not even in a playoff hunt. Just like the same thing with AJ Ramos for the Mets. For the Marlins. I don't see – those are two trades that I think are ... because there's something left behind that.
Well, listen, at least with Ramos to the Mets from the Marlins, at least he has a year of control. So if you really want to get crazy with it, maybe the Mets are thinking that they can turn around real quick and they'd have Reed and Ramos at the back end of their bullpen, and my goodness, I don't buy that, and Familia would come back. I don't buy that. I think something else is going on here too, whether or not it opens up a trade for Addison Reed so they have Ramos at the back end of their bullpen next year. I'm not sure. You know, at least it makes a little more sense than the Orioles getting Hellickson. This, to me, makes no sense unless there's another team that's going on and they're gonna move him and they got a good deal in place. And that happens from time to time. But I'm just looking at it and go, what? Huh? What?
Yeah, I'm super confused. I got no. I those both of those are just baffling to me. Both of them.
Oh, Cespedes to the Marlins for Ramos. Ricardo Cespedes, that is.
Oh, I was going to say, you got to be pooping me.
Got you there for a second. Mirandy Gonzalez and Ricardo Cespedes. So a couple of low-level minor leaguers for A.J. Ramos. I think a lot of people are going to be playing that joke on people tonight. Let's get into David Price here for just a second. David Price on the DL with the elbow issue. And the first thing would be the impact that it has on this club. And we mentioned how, thank goodness, they got Chris Sale, because if they didn't have Chris Sale, they would be in a boatload of trouble, probably almost needing to get Yu Darvish. So my first question is, do you think the Red Sox need to make a move? We don't know the severity, but it is the same elbow that kept him out for a lot of the first half of the season. Do you think the Red Sox are going to need to make a move for a starter?
No, I don't think so. They have Brian Johnson, who actually, I think he's the only starter, if I'm correct me if I'm wrong, for the Boston Red Sox to have a complete game this year. And he's down there in AAA. So, I mean, they have some guys, they have some depth down there. I just think this team is too good to kind of hit a big funk for a long time. You got Chris Sale, who's going to stop. If you have any kind of four-game losing streak and Chris Sale's on the, you know, on the end of that, you know, it's done. You'll continue going. So I think that's what they have going for them. And they have, you know, Porcello obviously hasn't been Cy Young Porcello, but he's still been good. They have guys that can help this team. So I'm not necessarily worried. They may go out and make a move just because, you know, what happened, and they want somebody to bridge that gap. But I don't see them going after a big, big name.
Well, now I'll just get back into the other side of things. The Ron Borges had the report this morning, or he had a story this morning about David Price and how he disrespected the organization. You and I have been through this before on this show multiple times. And then not long after that, the report came out that his elbow was landing him on the DL. And listen, Twitter is a horrible place, okay? But you also kind of get the feel of a fan base sometimes. And all the comments, you know, it's like, he's on the DL. Is it for his heart? Is it for, you know, what's in between your legs? Just crushing David Price. That's not cool at all. You're talking about an injury. That's where it crosses the line. Again, I get where the fans are frustrated up there, I think more than anything else because of the performance. But for the Sox fans to go out and crush this guy and get personal with him after an injury, I don't like it. It crosses the line. But on the other hand, it also shows you how that fan base feels about him. Now, if he goes out and pitches in the playoffs and he throws a complete game shutout, they're going to love him. He's the best. Right now, they cannot stand him, and they're really making him public enemy number one. It seems like they're going to pick one guy out of here, and unfortunately for David, it's him.
Yeah, but unfortunately for the Boston Red Sox, they still have 217 million reasons why that they have to like him. So, like him or not, he's going to be around for a while, and you better start liking him, because this guy can help you out. And if you help him, he can even help you more than you think. So, you know, that's their own issues. They have to look at themselves in the mirror if they want to bash a baseball player. But, again, he's got 217 million reasons why, so they'll just have to hang with him.
They got no choice at this point. They got no choice. But it is a big loss for this team. And who knows how long it's going to be. Hopefully he'll be back in time for the playoffs. Everything's going to be just fine if they get to the playoffs. As of right now, they've got to be very concerned with him not being available for at least the next 10 days and maybe a little bit longer than that as well.
You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, and we'll be right back with more after this.
Radio Disney loves bringing you the music you love. So get ready, because we're about to give you more to love. We've added a new member to the Radio Disney family, Radio Disney Country. It's the hits you love from country's biggest artists, plus legends in the making.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Hunter Hayes.
It's Kelsey Ballerini.
Hey, it's Maddie and Tate.
Country music never sounded so good. It's your music, your way, your country. Radio Disney Country, now available on TuneIn.
This is the MLB At The Plate podcast. Here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and J.P. Arencibia.
There were 15 games on Friday, and to bring you up to speed on all the action, we got the best day ever, Home Run Tracker, and statistically speaking.
Best day ever on MLB At The Plate.
Your what? Your pitcher. Who had the best day ever?
I just had the check swing right there.
Mm-hmm. You did,
and,
okay.
And I didn't go, thankfully. And so I'm still alive, and I'm going with Michael Wacha. 6 innings, 3 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 5 punchies.
That's a nice one. That's a nice one. I was going to go with Parker Bridwell, but I thought you were going to take Tanaka. Bridwell, by the way, 7 1/3 innings, 1 run against the Blue Jays, but I'm going with Tanaka. This was just dominating. Absolutely downright dominating performance by Masahiro Tanaka tonight. 8 innings, he had a perfect game rolling into the sixth. Threw 109 pitches, 77 for strikes. 8 innings, 2 hits, a run, just a solo shot to Duda, and 14 Ks, no walks. 14 strikeouts, best day ever. Masahiro Tanaka. Where are you going next?
I am going to go with the one that they call Mr. Josh Reddick. Mm-hmm. And he went today only one knock, 1 for 2. But a very productive 1 for 2, because he went 1 for 2 with 5 RBIs. He went a 3-run Jimmy Jack in the top of the 8th inning to put them up 1, which ultimately sealed the game for them.
All right, I'm gonna go with an audible right here. Now, Josh Reddick hit the big 3-run home run. I'm going to go Nomar Mazara, the man who made Dan Duquette realized they needed to go out and trade for Jeremy Hellickson because they didn't have enough starting pitching. That is exactly what did it tonight. Nomar Mazara, 3 for 4, 3 doubles, and a couple RBIs. I mean, they just torched Tillman tonight, so of course, hey, let's go get ourselves Jeremy Hellickson. That'll make our team better. And Nomar Mazara, best day ever. Let's go out.
Jose Ramirez, hang with him, kid.
Yeah, hang. He's had better days. Hey, yeah, 4 hits.
Homer, double. Yeah.
Had better days.
Tough one.
Let's talk about the home runs here.
MLB at the plate, home run tracker.
Yankees 16-0 this year when Brett Gardner homers. He's got 19, and his tonight went 398 feet. Adam Duvall went yard. So did Salvi Perez at Fenway Park. Nick Castellanos stays red hot. The Tiger Slugger's 3-run shot went 421 and 109 off the bat. A tie for the hardest hit home run of the night. Javier Baez went 112 exit velo, and his ball traveled 449. Aaron Judge went 112, and his ball went 397. Mike Moustakas' 3-run blast at Fenway, 372. Jose Ramirez, 383. Clint Frazier, longest home run of the night, 455 feet into Yankee Stadium, 111 off the bat. Aaron Altherr with a pair of home runs, 412 and 377. Cameron Rupp goes 421. Miguel Cabrera goes 426, and it's 459 in his career. So home run number 459 traveled 426 feet with an exit velocity of 104. Tommy Joseph, Marwin Gonzalez, Elvis Andrews all go in yard. Lucas Duda hits his first home run in a Rays uniform. Goes 409, 104 off the bat in the Bronx. Elvis Andrews hit one 401. Kurt Suzuki, Sean Rodriguez, JT Realmuto all go in yard. That huge 3-run blast by Josh Reddick for the Astros in Detroit went 397, 102 exit velo. Mike Avilas, CJ Crone going yard. Justin Smokes, 29th, goes 360. Carlos Santana stays hot, hit one 404. Scott Schebler, JP, you said, man, look at that Schebler home run. It went 432 with 109 exit velo. Jonathan Scope went deep again, hit one 423. Jay Bruce, 390. Corey Seager, 416 with a 107 exit velo. Brandon Crawford hit one 431 off of Alex Wood. Matt Davidson, 412. Michael Brantley, 423. Michael Conforto, 483. Andrew McCutchen's home run tonight went 405, 105 exit velo. And Mike Zunino scalded another one. His homer, 110 off the bat and 416 in feet. Let's dig deeper into the numbers.
Statistically speaking.
So, JP, Brett Gardner's got 19 homers from the top spot in the order, most by a Yankee leadoff hitter since Johnny Damon hit 24 in 2006. And you would think if Gardner stays healthy, he's going to beat that. He's got a very remote shot of getting to 30 home runs this year.
Pretty impressive.
To say the least. Brett Gardner joined George Springer as the only players this season to hit walk-off home run and follow it with a leadoff home run in the next game. I remember that. Springer did that back on April 5th and 6th. Mookie Betts has 24 infield pop-ups since June 13th. No other big leaguer has more than 24 infield pop-ups this season. That is straight minutia. Jose Altuve has 19 three-hit games this season. Jose Ramirez had his 15th three-hit game tonight. No other big league player has more than 14. By the way, does Altuve now have that 19-game hit streak? I believe he does. Two pitchers have had a start of 14 strikeouts and two hits or fewer this season. One is Masahiro Tanaka, and the other one is Clayton Kershaw. Oh, here we go. You know what? It happened tonight. 11 different Astros, 11 now, have double-digit homers that ties the Major League record. 11 Astros have double-digit homers.
11?
11. I remember when they got to 10, and
You can only have 9 guys in the lineup at once.
Exactly. How is that possible? How is it possible? That's just so much depth on this
Is that
team.
A record?
Yeah. What are you, not listening? I just said it. It ties a record. Ties
a
record.
Oh, no, I wasn't listening to you.
Ties a Major League record. At least you can admit it. I can't even admit it when I'm not listening to you. So let's go down the list here. George Springer, Carlos Correa, Marwin Gonzalez. Altuve, Gurriel, McCann, Beltran, Mariznick, Bregman, Gattis, and Josh Reddick is number 11.
Wow.
Reddick joined it tonight. Oh, my gosh.
And the one person that he would have thought would have been on that list much before was Reddick.
Yep, no, he just hit his 10th tonight.
Wow.
Gattis, Bregman. I mean, Gattis has 10 home runs and only 219 at-bats. And, of course, there's Springer at 368 at-bats. And good old Altuve. Altuve's got 15 home runs, 21 stolen bases, doubled and tripled again tonight. Just amazing. Just amazing what this little guy can do. He's a big man. Each of the Red Sox last 17 games has been decided by 4 or fewer runs. Aaron Judge has 37 career homers. He's tied with Ryan Braun for third most in baseball history through a player's first 125 games, behind only Mark McGwire and Rudy York. McGwire had 42, York had 38. And Yoan Moncada is the second White Sox player whose first 4 hits this season were a single, a double, a triple, and a home run. Matt Davidson accomplished the same thing. And there you go. That, my friends, is statistically speaking. That's it for the MLB at the Plate podcast. Make sure to join us on MLB on TuneIn at 7 Eastern each weeknight for MLB at the Plate. During the daily 5-hour show, you'll not only hear all of what you heard in the podcast, but you also have the chance to listen live to the games and get the action as it happens. For Abe and Dustin in the LA studio and JP Aaron CB alongside me, I'm Holden Kushner, and we'll catch you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listen-ins, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games, and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. Tune in, your everything audio app.